Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mm-hmm. Seems like you've had quite an interesting journey. To kick it off, let's start there. Let's go back a bit. What are some of the significant challenges you've faced on your journey that you've had to overcome, and how has that kind of led you to where you are today?
Sure. Geez, what haven't I experienced at this point? Short version of my story is, in a span of 5 years, while I was running my family's business as an SVP, I was the only woman in a very male-dominated industry, very young. So big deal that I was in this leadership position. But behind the scenes, no one had any idea that I had gone through a miscarriage. I was in an abusive marriage. No one had any idea. I was ashamed to let anybody know because I was afraid they were going to judge my leadership abilities if I couldn't control what was going on in my home. And then when my son was 5 months old, I left, literally became homeless in a day. I had to leave him in my apartment and everything. And when all the dust had settled, went through a very high conflict divorce with everything going on, had finally bought a new house, had been on the up and up, had actually even been in a different relationship with somebody who I was talking about getting married, and we were going to have another kid and our kids were best friends. I was the one to discover he died by suicide. So in this very short time frame, experiencing that much stuff, the one thing that kind of stood out to me was, even as traumatic as that suicide loss was, that day, I remember I had to wait for the detectives to arrive to rule me out as a suspect, which is really kind of wild when you think about it. It's like more trauma. But I had this sense of almost peace in a way, because I knew if I had gone through hell and back the years prior to that and made it through it, if I could figure out what I did to keep moving, that I was still going to be able to do so after the suicide loss. And in short, that's when I started my business. I left a 15-year career because I wasn't inclusive for me to be with my kid, with the hours and everything I had to work as an SVP. So I started my coaching and speaking business at that point. Within the first couple of weeks, I had paying clients. Within the first couple of months, I had an audience of 30,000 people online. And within a year, I was a TEDx speaker. And now I work professionally as a keynote speaker as well as a coach, coaching on high performance specifically and working through overwhelm and continuing to move no matter what the circumstances are. And that's my journey. And that's where I am. And it's been a relatively quick one. It's been within the last decade.
Yeah, it's a very intense and condensed period of time for such intense mm-hmm. stuff to go through. It's pretty tricky. It must've been so hard to put up that veneer, you know, when all that stuff was going on. And like you say, I think a lot of people in higher positions can relate to that. I don't want to show some kind of weakness. Mm-hmm. So I have to present this, which is really hard to hold on to, I think. Like to hold that in place is mm-hmm. really challenging, as opposed to like being a bit more literal, that, you know, but and also that kind of ethos that you had around perspective, you know, if I can get through this, I can keep moving. I can relate to that as well. But yeah, what an intense thing that then pushed you in this very different direction, which has had awesome benefit by the sound of it.
Well, and it's been amazing and a wild ride too, because it didn't just benefit my career, you know, professionally. I also, within 6 months of my loss, met my husband by some miracle. And during the pandemic, when everybody was going through like so much loss, we found out that we were expecting another baby. And I literally went from being a single mom of one to a married mom of four in a year. So like, wow. Tons of abundance, like really quickly. So it's as difficult as the 5 years were before it, then it like was a complete 180 on the other side of it. But I attribute a lot of that, and this is a lot of what I speak on in my keynotes, a lot of that was for my husband and I both, when things were really, really difficult, we just kind of kept moving, kept working on ourselves, kept addressing things. This is why I feel the concept of the overwhelm culprits is so important. Like really being able to identify, why are you stressed? Why are you overwhelmed? What do you need to bring into alignment to continue moving? Because had I not done that, I wouldn't be doing any of the stuff I'm doing today. I would be a victim of my circumstances, like so many people are.
Yeah, just reacting and responding to putting out fires and reacting, as opposed to like taking the reins on it.
Right. That, or even, you know, when you think about what I went through in terms of the abuse with my marriage, it would have been just as easy for me to just be single for the rest of my life out of fear of that happening again, or, you know, fear of, you know, that being imparted on my kid, you know, since we had gone through that before. And it was a lot of work and effort on me, you know, personally, to deal with those fears and to continue to do things that were challenging and scary and whatever else, to ultimately find the person that we're meant to be with. You know, a lot of folks give up a little bit too early with that, or they don't do the internal work necessary to understand. Because a lot of times we find ourselves in scenarios and it's kind of like Groundhog's Day. That's like the same thing over and over. It's like, why does this keep happening to me? You know, like, oh, woe is me, like victim. But no, it's like you're, you know, a result of your choices. You know, you're choosing. Yeah. These relationships, you're choosing these careers, you're choosing these jobs. What do you need to do differently to get a different result?
Yeah, there's a level of courage that comes into play when you've been hurt or in an abusive relationship, to then have the courage to say, I'm willing to go again, as in risk putting my heart on the line again. It's a courageous thing to do. I had, you know, I experienced family divorce when I was young. And so when I was, you know, as an adult, I was like, no matter what, I'm going to have stability and, you know, I'm not going to. And then within, you know, I had a relationship deteriorate within a couple of years of having my son, after I swore to myself that was, you know, not gonna go down. Yeah. So for anybody who's feeling that overwhelm that you're talking about, like just overwhelmed, where does somebody like start to get out of that like reactive state? What do you recommend?
I recommend using this framework that I developed called the overwhelm culprits. They're really easy to remember. They all begin with a C, and they're a lack of one of these five things. So the first one is a lack of clarity, right? It's not only important to know what it is that you want, but why you want it, because otherwise you're getting overwhelmed, taking action on the wrong things, right? Which is why you're getting a different result than what it is that you want. So that clarity, first and foremost, is super, super important. It almost forms the foundation for all the other culprits, right? The second one is confidence. So it's not just a matter of knowing what you want and why you want it. You have to believe you're capable of doing it. And so many people, I find, they get tripped up by either what other people have told them what's possible of them, what society tells them they should be doing. You know, they internalize everybody else's dialogues as their own, instead of from within doing an audit and being like, you know what? What is it I'm not confident about? What is preventing me from getting to there? And what skills do I need to bridge that gap? Because it's really just a mismatch of skills, you know, or education or learning. So what is it that you need to learn? So great example of this, just to share a quick story, is before I had gone through the suicide loss, I was actually in therapy at that time to deal with some depression, which I didn't know was depression at the time. And it all stemmed from me having a 20-hour a week commute going to my corporate job. I got to see my son maybe an hour in the evening. That was it. He was a baby. It was really, really wearing on me. And my therapist at the time had asked me, she said, well, have you considered another career? And of course I hadn't, because I was groomed to take over my family's business, right? You kind of don't believe that there's any other option. And she had said to me, well, have you ever considered becoming a coach, like a life or a business coach? At the time that I've known you, you have this great ability to be able to continue to take action and figure out next steps, which are what coaches do. Therapists help you figure out how you got to where you got to. Where coaches help you figure out what's next. You have a really great skill set for that. If you teach other people how to do it, you could have a huge impact. And immediately I kind of dismissed it, because I'm thinking in my head, I had actually watched maybe 2 weeks before that, I'm Not Your Guru, the documentary on Tony Robbins. And I was so in awe of the way that he was able to just ask a question and change somebody's thinking in an instant. And I immediately dismissed it as being something that I could do. I was like, oh, you know, this isn't an option for me. This looks like the most amazing job ever, but you know, it won't work for me. I don't have those skill sets. I wouldn't know how to do it. Plus I'm supposed to run this business for my family. It's just not an option. So after the suicide loss has happened and I was really up against the wall, I'm like, I got to do something different. I can't be in this career. I can't deal with the commute. Something's got to change. That change has got to start with me. That's when I actually went and started doing research on, okay, well, what are coaching skills? Like, what is a coach? Read all the books, took some certifications. And that's when I was finally able to see what my therapist saw all along. Working as a corporate leader for as long as I did, I was already coaching in a certain capacity. Yeah. I knew a lot of the skills. I just didn't know, like, I didn't believe it because I didn't see it inside myself. So it took me going out and learning and doing what I had to do to see what other people could already see inside of me. Mm. So that's why confidence is the second one. The third one is your community. So, you know, it's the famous motivational speaker, Jim Rohn, once said, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. This is so, so true. So if you're overwhelmed because the people surrounding you don't know how to do what it is that you want to do, don't believe that it's possible or don't support you in doing it, you're never going to achieve it. It's just not going to happen. And the way that you address this is by being very, very selective in who you choose to spend all your time with, right? Fourth one is your conditioning, which is your physical and mental health and wellness, right? So for working moms like myself, this is always the one that goes like straight out the window. This is the thing I'm always coming back to. So if you can't pour from an empty cup. So a lot of times when we get super overwhelmed, it's because we haven't enough sleep, or we're not eating right, or we're not finding time to exercise. And a lot of times it can be a fairly simple fix by just evaluating, okay, well, how am I taking care of myself? How am I parenting myself the way I would parent my kids, right? You make sure that your kids are eating their vegetables and they're getting enough sleep and all that. As adults, we never do that for ourselves. So by identifying what is it that I could improve in this area, granted that's your culprit, then from there, it's going to help you kind of continue to take motion and action, because you got more energy, you're going to feel better, you're going to show up better for other people, which brings me to the fifth C, which is simply consistency. You know, taking one action isn't enough to get to where you want to go. You're going to beat your head against a wall for not having the results that you want. But truth is, it's, you know, abs are made not only in the kitchen, but through consistent effort in your diet and your exercise and doing it day in and day out. You don't get abs in a week, right? It just doesn't work that way. So by having regular check-ins with yourself, whether it be a daily check-in, weekly, monthly, quarterly, right? How on track are you for your goals? How are you taking action towards it? Making sure that you're consistent. If you're not consistent, that's fine. With the regular check-ins, it makes it easier for you to kind of pivot and start over again, or that, or maybe what you're working towards isn't in alignment for where you are today. That's fine too. But if you're not maintaining that consistency and that accountability to yourself and your actions, it's no wonder that you're going off path. You're not following the map in a way that you had set out for yourself. So those are the five. And I find if you're able to figure out which one it is and pinpoint it, that gets you moving pretty quick.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I'm happy and sad for two reasons. I'm happy consistency is in there because I was going to add that if that was that's a big one. And I'm sad because I just did a workout at the gym and I really thought I was going to have abs by tomorrow from this one workout.
Yep, you and me both. Especially as you get older, it's like that timeline gets longer.
but the 5 C's are awesome. Consistency is the way. I just thought it's really cool that you had, like you say, you had those skills already and you didn't necessarily realize that you'd already be doing them. You just had to like reapply them in a different way. And right. and like you say, the environment you put yourself in, like a commute without kind of realizing it can just be so subconsciously kind of draining and you don't even know it, you know, and before you even start the day, like you're just sapped from from an exhausting commute. But by tweaking that, suddenly you've picked up more time. Yeah, you know, you've gained more energy and then you can shift the focus with the things you've said, the clarity and so on. And also, yeah, who you surround yourself with. Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. All those things are really massive. You also talked a little bit about failure. It comes up a lot on the show. I personally love the lessons that come from it failure. You know, I've always just seen it as lessons and like very accelerated growth in those moments. So it's obviously something you see as very important as well.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, especially for me as a business owner and entrepreneur, and in my coaching business, I'm known for working with brand new entrepreneurs. So people who have wanted to start a business but didn't know where to start, you know, are overwhelmed with that process. That's who I usually work with. And I joke all the time, but this is so true, that entrepreneurs are like the best professional failures. Because the ones that are successful, it's because they failed and they failed and they failed and they failed so much that they eventually make money out of it. And it's true. It's the truth though. So being able to adopt that mindset isn't easy, and it requires basically getting comfortable with discomfort. Because really when you think about it, it's that discomfort is kind of your signal that you've hit your max of your capability in a way. And by doing whatever that thing is, it's pushing that comfort zone, because there's either a gap in, you know, the confidence, you know, a gap in the skill set, education, there's something there that through the time and the doing of that action, whatever that thing is that you're afraid to do, the more you do it, then it becomes second nature, you know, but it requires doing those reps, that consistency we were talking about before, to really kind of help with it. But the good part about it is if you make it kind of a habit every single day to do like one thing that freaks you out, and it can be something small, it doesn't have to be something major, but like something minor that you find uncomfortable that you really want to avoid doing. It could be, you know, working out in the morning. You absolutely hate it. You know, you're just going to make it a point that in the morning, you're going to try to do 5 minutes, right? Something small. Then from there, the more you do it, that 5 minutes doesn't become a big deal. Then all of a sudden, 15 minutes could be in the realm of normal, 20 minutes, and you kind of work your way up from there. So many people just avoid it altogether just because of that discomfort. And it's a shame because they're missing out on a lot.
Yeah, there's a real rewarding knock-on effect by leaning into that. And like you say, very tangible, bite-sized pieces that aren't too overwhelming, you know? Like it's... it's easy just on the fitness thing or whatever. It's easy. It's a bit overwhelming to say, I want to, you know, get ripped in 30 days or whatever. But if it's like, no, I'm just going to do the 5 minute thing, like you said, that's much more realistic and still just as rewarding when you see that you can do that. And when you see that you can be consistent with that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. When somebody's perhaps struggling to identify what their talents are, I mean, I think we have a sense of the things, our strengths, but sometimes, like, I'm a big advocate of like hard, honest truths and asking people that you kind of trust and value to give you like honest appraisals of, but it's often surprising, you know, you think you might be strong in a particular area and other people don't necessarily see it that way. Mm-hmm. How do you go about, well, how would somebody go about like identifying their strengths?
Sure. So, you know, and I think you touched on a really good point too, before I provide a tip for that. Sometimes it's so difficult for us to see our strengths because our strengths come easy. And we're, especially in the United States, I can speak for, we're kind of conditioned that, you know, when you work hard, that's how you're financially rewarded. So when something's easy, we kind of immediately dismiss it as being like, that's not valuable, right? That's easy. I could do it. Anyone can do it. But truth is, not everybody could do it. There's a reason that you're the best person to do whatever that is. So usually when I'm working with clients on this specific issue, there's one exercise. I'm not going to take credit for it. I believe it was actually Marie Forleo that I had come across it. But one of the best things that you could do is send out an email, or you do a Facebook post, but I like emails, like personal ones. And you're going to send it to like 15 to 20 people. You want like a sizable number of people to collect information from, and just ask them straight up like, hey, I'm doing this project, or I was challenged by my coach or whoever it is, and they told me to ask, you know, those people closest to me what my greatest strengths are. What do you think that is? And it is so eye-opening getting those responses back. And it's a great way to kind of kick off your confidence if you're starting from a place of low confidence by just taking all those answers and putting it in like a file on your computer, on your phone, that when you're feeling crappy about yourself, that you pull it out and you're reminded by these things that, you know, people you know, love, and trust have said about you. And it really, it's a great thing not only to know, okay, well, where are the ways that I can be of most value in helping and serving people? Because you're already doing that for your friends, your family, your colleagues, for the people that respect you enough to be able to respond to this exercise. But especially if you're looking to start a new career, or, you know, get a raise, or even to like start a business, like I work with brand new entrepreneurs, it's a great place to start to begin to think about, okay, what are the different ways that I can monetize this skill set and get paid in a career or get paid as a business, right? Because this is something I've struggled with for a really long time. A lot of times we're not going to want to try to double down on those skill sets because we just dismiss it because it's so easy, but that's actually the path of least resistance to our own financial success by doing that, because you're removing all the friction. You're doing the stuff that comes easy, that's faster, that you do better than everybody else. And people value that, you know, monetarily. So it's something to really double down on.
Yeah, that's awesome, because it's kind of counterintuitive. It's like, well, if this comes easy to me, then I can't, I have to push and you know, but yeah, it's kind of almost counterintuitive, that thing.
Yeah, I forget exactly who it was who I heard this from, but they had a great kind of analogy. Actually, I remember who it was. There's this guy named Brad Yates, and he does EFT tapping on YouTube. Mm. And I was listening to one on ease, because I want things to be easier. And sometimes when you have resistance to things like doing easy work and getting paid for it, that ease thing kind of pops up. And in it, he had described, when you have a child, right, that has a great arm on him, right, and he can really throw a ball, and he's really fast and everything else, you don't sign him up for bowling, right? You sign him up for baseball, you know, or something like that. Like, you make sure that, like, the sport's aligned with what the skill sets are. Yeah. It's no different for us as adults.
Yeah.
And I thought that was such a great analogy. Now, moving forward, anytime I'm looking to do a project or something like that, that I want like a quick win, I think of it in that way. I'm like, what's the easiest, you know, thing that I could do that'll get me the quickest results? Not unlike me signing up my kid for the sport that they're naturally inclined to be good at.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's like, just that it sounds simple, but sometimes it's, yeah, you know, we, like you said earlier, like voices come into play, other people's voices, societal mm-hmm. ideas of what we should be doing and kind of losing track of like that inner kind of compass that we have. Yeah, but just the less is more kind of thing. It's just so rewarding and can be quite confronting when you do receive financial incentive for something that you love. It's just like, wow, mm-hmm. you know,
yep.
To be embraced. It's a tradition on the show to have guests offer a challenge to listeners. You've already mentioned a couple. You mentioned the five minute thing, the stepping into discomfort. Perhaps for somebody struggling to get motivated, is there anything else that springs to mind?
You know, I could give a really good one for folks that are really in like the depths of it, that are going through something really serious and they're really overwhelmed and every day is like a true struggle. And that is to live day by day, but not just live day by day, but instead of focusing on the things that you don't have in that moment, because usually our, you know, deepest, darkest times are times of loss. Either something that was taken away that you didn't want taken away, or there's, you know, some kind of opportunity that didn't pan out. So again, that's a loss in a way. To instead focus on what is actually going well for you that day. And I remember when I had first gone through the suicide loss, and I couldn't even get out of bed. You know, it was that bad. I was incapacitated for 3 weeks. My family had to come and help take care of my son. It was crazy. And the way that I was able to get myself out of bed that day was by each morning before I got up, I tried to think of three things I was grateful for. And it started off as like stupid stuff. Like, I am so glad that I found my son's missing shoe. I am so glad I did laundry yesterday that I don't have to do it today. Right. These are like real ones that I did. And by doing this again on a daily basis, you know, building up that muscle little by little, you go throughout your day, then kind of searching for that light in the day, and then it becomes more noticeable. So then the big things kind of pop up. I think a lot of folks, especially when it comes to things like gratitude practices, you think that you have to put all this pressure on it to be like, I'm grateful for rainbows and sunshine and all this stuff, where really it could be like something like a really minor convenience, right? That we could be grateful for, which that small tiny thing can make the biggest difference, especially if you're going through something really serious. And it'll help you get through that morning, through going to bed that day, and just focus day by day and do that day in and day out. And your situation will change, guaranteed.
I like that, because it's the same feeling, right? Regardless of the size of the gratitude, it's the mm-hmm. same. And I like that you referred to it as a muscle, because it's, yeah, just get that muscle going. And then that's very cool. I also remember, that's a great one. I mean, you also mentioned the email one, you know, sending out the email to people about your strengths. So there's lots of challenges there. Where can people find you?
You can find me at corrielo.com, CORRIELO.com. And if you go there to visit, I do, if you like the overwhelm culprits and you're curious what yours is, I do have a free quiz there that it'll tell you what your culprit is and exactly what to do about it.
Cool. Well, I really appreciate your time. There's been a lot there in quite a short time. Yeah. So yeah. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Daniel.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.